So, Vicki, tell us what possessed you to write.
I read a book called It's All About the Dress, and I decided to write books. I was a fashion designer, but I decided to write books because I love to read, and I thought I could write. Actually, a publisher bought it and produced it, so now I'm officially a writer. And the reason why I decided to write books is that I had spent 40 years with naked women in dressing rooms. When they come into a dress, get a dress for me, and I'm a couturier, they take their clothes off, and they're completely naked or with little panties on. And I take their measurements, and I make them a custom couture dress. And when I'm talking to them about their event, they start telling me their whole life story. I need a dress because I lost my husband, and I'm going to a party to get another one. I'm doing my daughter's wedding, and I'm the mother of the bride, and my husband left me, or he's passed away, and I need a new husband. I want to maybe at the party meet somebody. So there's an attachment to getting the dress somehow involving a man. I want to please him, I want to get a new one, etc. And I decided that I would be able to write and communicate with my reader all the things I learned in 40 years from these women who were desperate to find and please men and using me as their designer. They told me their whole life story.
There were other things I wanted to ask you related to this, but I'll get back to it. How did you introduce the miniskirt?
I was in love at the age of 17 with a young folk singer in Greenwich Village. And I'd come from Chevy Chase, Maryland, where the girls were proper, and I'd worn dresses pretty much above the knee. I'd started wearing wrap skirts about 2 inches, 3 inches above the knee. But I wouldn't really call that a mini. It was just above the knee. And when I fell in love with this young man in the village, I wanted to have him, and all the women in the village were fighting over him. He was the best-looking singer. We had Bob Dylan, we had Richie Havens, but this one was a killer. So I decided to get him with clothing, and I made my own clothes, and I wore them, and I got sexier and sexier and sexier. And his wife was a nude model. She had been a model for magazines, and he really had broken up with her but kept her picture over his bed. And it was a temptation to compete with this beautiful woman and be hotter than her. So my skirts got shorter and shorter. My tops got sexier. I started showing my bra through, and voila, the mini skirts came through.
Very interesting. All right.
Over a guy.
How were the results? I mean, that got his attention, and you achieved your end goal?
Yes, I was with him for, I guess, 6 or 7 years. Had a long-time relationship with him as a friend, first as a girlfriend, and then later on, as I moved to Paris, we stayed friends, and we actually stayed friends until his death. He was the hot folk singer in Greenwich Village at the Café Wa, and we went together. And I beat out all the other girls for his attention, and I was with him for off and on for a couple of years until I went to Paris.
Very nice. Okay. Is it true that Julia Roberts' beautiful red dress in Pretty Woman is one of yours?
It was one of mine, but it's the story of being copied. I had made dresses all my life that had been copied by other people. A store called Fred Heyman came into my shop in 1979, 80, and they started buying my clothes. And I had this dress that I made in 1970 for an actress in France, and it was draped, and it was called the Torrid. And they said, I want that dress for Giorgio's in Beverly Hills, and I want it in red. So and they want it with draped sleeves. So Giorgio's had this exclusive design, and they called it the Torrid, and they kept it in their shop exclusively and in the window. And lo and behold, I guess the people who were doing the Pretty Woman got the dress, and they made it, they put it in on Julia Roberts in the movie, and they had to revive it to make 5 or 10 copies of it in the studio, so they made it themselves. But they copied the dress that then became the Pretty Woman dress out of the Giorgio's store. So people never referred to it as the dress from the movies. They called it my dress, the Pretty Woman dress, because it had been selling at that point for about 6 or 7 years. In fashion, we're often copied. The designer will make something and lay claim to it, and then somebody else will make it and lay claim to it, and then somebody else will make it and lay claim to it. And it's a big struggle, but the world has accepted that that was my design with the draped hip and the low-cut top and the off-the-shoulders in red. It was myself working with Gail and Fred Heyman, who created that dress, Giorgio's, Beverly Hills.
Is the dress in another famous movie also yours, a dance movie?
Oh, the dress for Saturday Night Fever. I did the costumes for the actress in Saturday Night Fever when she danced with John Travolta. And that was a famous dress because it was a tight jersey dress looking like a T-shirt, but when she danced, as she was dancing with him, it was slit all the way up to the thighs and the sleeves were slit. And he dipped her and twisted her, and so that became a very, very popular dress. And that dress also sold for a good 20 years. And I brought it back last year and selling it again, as well as the Pretty Woman dress. It's been selling steadily since 1978 or 79, something like that. How many years is that? Let me see. 40? 30?
30. I'm thinking 30. Well, that just 30
some years,
a good
yeah.
Design, a good design is timeless.
Yes, the Pretty Woman dress has been selling steadily in Neiman Marcus since they opened their stores and made a couture department. They put it in there, and today they buy 80 at a time. They stock them, and when the 80 go, they stock them again. It's still called the Pretty Woman dress, and the funny thing about that dress is that we sold it to 17-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 60-year-olds, and 90-year-olds, and my book opens with the fact that someone's grandma was buried in that dress, and she didn't know if she could buy it. So it's a very popular dress to bury grandma in, too. They say that grandma wants to go out looking her best.
Oh, me. All right. Well, tell us about Elizabeth Taylor and you. How many years were you close?
Up until the last few years of her life, and she didn't travel anymore, I stayed in touch because she backed me when I was a young girl, and we met in Paris in a movie studio. I was doing my first film, and she was making a movie called The Sandpiper, and it was shot supposedly in California in the town of Big Sur. But Elizabeth didn't want to live in Big Sur. She wanted to live in Paris and eat French food. So we pretended that Paris was Big Sur, and we had little background shots of Big Sur when we used the blank screen. And Elizabeth was all about food, so she wanted to eat French food. They just had to shoot the California movie in Paris to suit her. So I met her in the studios, and we became really good friends, and she ordered what I was wearing right off my back. And then I eventually became a partner with her in my dress shop, and we stayed partners until she stopped coming to Europe. And I always supplied her with clothes, and she would actually design and take the pen out of my hand and draw. And very few people know that Elizabeth could actually draw. And on my Inside the Book website, on my VickiTeal.com website, you punch Inside the Book, you'll see some of Elizabeth's actual drawings of fashions. And her favorite thing to design was wedding dresses, because she was married 8 times, and she loved designing wedding dresses.
Well, tell us about your friendship with Bob Mackie.
We had to make clothes for one of the movies and go back to California and have the clothes made in Western costume. Elizabeth Courtney ran Western costume, and one of the house designers was Bob Mackie, who was the favorite designer of Cher. So I got to meet him, and he came to visit me in my shop in Paris, and we became friends, and he designed a lot of the really exciting beaded costumes, very Las Vegas of Cher's for all her shows. So he had Cher and I had Elizabeth, so we had a lot, you know, each one of us had a really exciting woman that we were very closely involved with. And I worked with Western Costume and gave them some of the knowledge I had from my French business, where in France we use lingerie sewers to put the insides of the dress. So my famous Pretty Woman dress is made with 24 metal bones that shape the body, and it's a proper corset, which is why Grandma wants to be buried in it, because her body is going to be skinny and sculpted and with a French corsetry. And I gave the people at Western Costume the lessons because they were making their lingerie and not in the French style, and I worked very well with them and Bob Mackie, and we all learned a few things. He was an expert on beading, and I was pretty much the expert on corsetry. It was a very nice experience. Most designers are very good friends. We all have the same type of background. Now, there's two types of designers, the kind that can actually be the designer and the type that's just a name, and then they have a team working under them that are real designers, but the name isn't really a designer. Bob Mackey is a real designer, and as opposed to designers who are just the name and they're not the real, they can't draw with the pen. You know, I don't want to go into ruining and breaking their hearts to disclose them, but if you really checked it out as a, wanted to buy something from a real designer, you could check it out and find that those who can draw and sew and know construction and those that don't. I call the ones who can't, who are just unable to really have their own brand and everything journeyman designers, or journeyman designers don't have their own look or their own style.
What other actresses did you dress?
Oh, my. Well, I opened my shop in 1968, and at that point I had worked on my first movie, What's New Pussycat, and the star of that movie was Ursula Andress, the American, she was the American star, but she was actually a Swiss-born from James Bond's Dr. No, and she was amazing, one of the most beautiful women. She came out of the ocean in Dr. No in a bikini, and the whole world after that wanted to wear bikinis. So along with Brigitte Bardot, Ursula Andress was amazing. I also dressed in that film the beautiful actress in France who was the leading lady of our country in France, Romy Schneider. And she was the girlfriend of our popular actor Alain Delon. So I dressed then through them Brigitte Bardot and Jane Birkin and all of the emerging stars in France, Jean Moreau of the 1960s and 70s. I opened the shop with Elizabeth, and they would walk in, and Anna Karina, she was amazing. She was married to Jean-Luc Godard, who did the movie Breathless, and I dressed Jean Seberg, who, after photographing my dresses a year or two later, committed suicide in her car. But she was really beautiful for the reopening of my shop in 1970 when my partner left. I dressed all the European stars, and as well as Elizabeth, and then some of the American stars would come in. Goldie Hawn as a young girl came in, and I became friends with her. And I dressed Joan Collins. She was an amazing star who became really big in the 1980s with Dynasty. So these great glamour pusses were the beginning of my learning and career, and I've been using the lessons from working with these glamour pusses to give them to the women who buy a gown when they get a custom-made gown. I have the secrets of the secrets of seduction that I've put into my dresses.
I'm impressed. I didn't realize all the things that one needed to be skilled in to design dresses. Well, Vicki, it's been so nice of you to take some time with us here, and I know you have a busy schedule, so I certainly wish you the best with your book, and thank you again for your time.
Yeah, I'd love you to remind everybody that my book is printed by St. Martin's Press. It's all about the dress, and it's stories. It's also got recipes inside my book and lists of things that women can learn, such as how to tell if a man is in love, how to tell if a man is a rabbit or not a rabbit. I have lots and lots of advice on food, what French women eat to stay slim, what a day in the life of Elizabeth Taylor, what she eats all day, and how our great lives were when we lived the glamorous life on all of the fabulous yachts in the Mediterranean, hanging out with Princess Grace. So there's lots and lots of great tidbits in the book, and lots of good recipes and great food, and a love story in the back. And the background is a wonderful love story. I hope everybody will enjoy my book.
I'm sure everyone will. I wonder, if I may, what is a rabbit?
Okay, there's two. I divide men into categories of rabbits, non-rabbits, and snake rabbits. And a rabbit is a man that jumps from woman to woman and just can't resist. A non-rabbit is a man who doesn't and is faithful. For the most part, if he has an affair on the side, it's called a slip, but it's not something that you can be mad about. And the third type is a snake rabbit, and a snake rabbit is the best husband you'd ever want. He's always in dressing rooms making his wife happy, buying her every jewel she wants, and it's because he has a full-time mistress living in a house that's paid for, like John Edwards, and that's a snake rabbit, and she thinks she has the best husband in the whole world, but he's the snake rabbit. And then I have the rabbit test, and how do you tell if a man is a rabbit? You put him opposite a door of the opening of the top restaurant in town where all the babes walk in the gorgeous dresses, and you have him facing the door. And when the babes walk out and through the dress, through the restaurant, if his head turns around and follows the babe, he's a rabbit. And if he stays looking at the menu like my husband, he's a non-rabbit. So voila. Better have non-rabbits for husbands. Give them the rabbit test of a fancy restaurant.
Well, that seems like, if that's typical of the advice that's in the book, I can't believe it, that everyone won't be very intrigued and entertained. So I certainly wish you the best with it. I think all of your readers will enjoy it and enjoy themselves while reading it. So thank you again. It's been
okay,
so nice doing your interview.
Thank you.
Okay. And well, Vicki, I'm looking forward to coming up to your party there at Gabby's.
Sure. That's wonderful. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm so excited we made People Magazine. The pressure's off to really travel the country and try to explain the book. Just alone will be all over the country, so people can, you know, just these will read People Magazine, and they gave me a cute little review. They gave me 3 out of 4 stars, which is apparently
right.
Wonderful.
Yes.
I'm one of only a few books reviewed a month, and thousands of books written every month, so I can't believe it. It's like outrageous.
Yes. Yes. And I'm hoping that the storm won't upset things so much, and that everybody will be able to attend at Gabby's.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to have it. Well, you're a hurricane expert like me in Florida. I mean, I can't even get my husband to pay attention to this storm. If it's not a 3, he doesn't even get out of the book. Thank you very much. It's been wonderful talking to you. I want to say that I'll be available to sign my book Labor Day weekend in the town of Hudson, New York, upstate New York, at the Spotty Dog on Sunday, the 4th of September, between 4 and 6. And then the following week, during the week, we have Fashion Night Out in New York City, and I'll be in Bergdorf Goodman on the 5th floor signing my books from 6 to 10. So I'd love to have everybody come and meet me, and I'll sign Vicki Teal in your book and tell you all about it when I see you in person. Thanks. Bye.
Goodbye.
My pleasure.